All right, let's see, I think we're on. All right, I like to use both hands when I preach. And so today, if you're not used to listening to the Bible, I'm going to tell you that that's what I'm going to preach out of today is the Bible. I know there's lots of religious books out there. I know that there's a lot of people that read many different types of religious books, and maybe you've even gone to comparative religion classes like I did, and you know that there are a lot of good things. There are a lot of consistencies even between religious books, but we preach out of the Bible, and here's the reason why. The reason is because when you do what the Bible says to do, you'll get what the Bible says you'll get. The bottom line is that the Bible works. And you know, one of the things that I've seen throughout my years of serving the Lord and preaching the Bible is that some people get discouraged about things not happening right away. Like, they start living God's way for like a week, and they're like, why didn't it all come together all at once? Hey, look, if you've ever been to the gym, you know that going to the gym one time does not make you get in shape. I mean, I wish it were that way, because then I would just go once and be done with it. You know what I'm saying? But it takes a consistent lifestyle of what you put into your body and then what you do to your body in order for your body to respond. But I'll tell you one thing, if you do it, your body will respond. And so that's the same way that it works with the Word of God, is that when we put the right thing on the inside of us, if we're consistent with it, and if we practice it, then what happens is it will profit us and it'll change our life forever. And so today I want to preach to you actually part of a series. If you haven't been here for the series, don't even worry about it. This message will kind of stand alone, but it will tie into the other messages. If you'd like to go back to them and listen to them, you're more than welcome to. You can do that either on our website, or you can go right to our app, or we have podcasts now. So for those of you that are podcast fanatics, or maybe you just don't want to click that many times or whatever your thing is, you can go right to Google Play and you can get to our podcast. You can go over to Spotify. If you're a Spotify user, you can get it there. And just about to come online will be our iTunes podcast as well. So there's no excuse for not hearing it. If you want to hear it, you can get to it pretty easily. If you'd like to take notes, I welcome you to take notes. My friend says it this way, it's better to have a short pencil than a long memory. So you might as well take some good notes today. And if you would like some notes, you can get them either electronically on our website, or you can get them right back at our Welcome Center, especially if you're going to be a part of a Connect group. You want to have those notes so that you can have the discussion questions that you're a part of. We welcome you to be in part of our Connect groups, even if you're not a normal attender here. If you want to just connect with some people, show up to a Connect group, and you can find those right online or on our website or on our app, and we also have some papers back there for those of you that are old school and still like killing trees. All right, today I'm going to be preaching to you a message that I call Get to the Feet. Get to the Feet. You know, I want to kind of start off by setting this up a little bit, by talking just a little bit about that sometimes you've got to be able to carry other people. One of the things that I was so blessed about today, and you might not even know this because it didn't really skip a beat, was that we had two musicians up on stage that have really not played as part of our main worship team. We had Jonah, where's Jonah? Where are you? Right here. Oh, here's Jonah. Are you 16 now? Why are you looking at your mom to find out how old you are? 16, right? Yeah, why do I know how old you are and you don't know how old you are? What's up with that? We had Jonah playing electric guitar, and then we had Araya, who's 11 years old, that was playing keyboard today. And then we had my son Dakota, who was playing on the drums today. He's also 11 years old, and you probably didn't even know that because they did such an amazing job. Would you give him a round of applause? They aren't our normal musicians, but they are in our pipeline of musicians growing up as being part of our junior worship team. But they stepped up in season immediately today because there was a need. Sometimes you got to be able to carry others when they're not able to carry themselves. You know, you got to be strong enough to be able to do that. So we had a family that had a family emergency today, and normally they would be helping us on our worship team, but they weren't able to do that because they needed to take care of some other things. So an 11-year-old and a 16-year-old stepped up and knocked it out of the park. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, sometimes you just need to be able to carry others. I want to point you to a passage of scripture. If you don't have your Bibles, it will be up on the screen. However, I do want to encourage you that you should at least download a Bible. It's free. Download it right onto your phone, your smartphone. I don't think you can get them on dumb phones, but you can do it on a smartphone and on your tablet, whatever, and bring it with you. If not, get a hard copy. Hard copies of the Bible are so awesome to read through. It's just a tangible thing that you can grab onto, highlight, and all that stuff. I'm going to be reading to you out of the version of the Bible called the Message Bible. I'm not going to stay in that version all day, but for this passage of Scripture, I want to point to the Message Bible. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, it says this: "By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently." Look, I don't know if you have a doubtful reputation today, but if you do, you're in the right place. You're hanging around Jesus, so you're doing all right. You're welcome in this house. People were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees, that means they were the religious zealots of the day. They were super into legalism, super into doing everything as right as they possibly could, but they still fell short, by the way, of God's glorious standard. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends." Their grumbling triggered this story. By the way, it was a story that Jesus told. Jesus said this: "Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it?" Like, kept on looking, not just like a cursory look, like how my son looks for things that I ask him to find in the house. Like, "Nope, don't see it." Dude, you didn't even go anywhere. You just did this, which is what I just finished doing. It's not there. You gotta keep on looking for it. Verse 5, "When found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, call in your friends and neighbors, saying, 'Celebrate with me, I have found my lost sheep.'" You know, it's so important that we realize that when Jesus goes out looking for people, sometimes he has to throw them onto his shoulders and carry them back. Because maybe they don't know the way back. Maybe they're too tired from having walked as far as they've already walked. But Jesus has the ability to make it all the way back home. Some important things that we can draw from this parable. By the way, this is something called a parable. A parable is simply a story that has a meaning. So these are some important things that we can draw from this parable. Number one, we've got to be personally strong enough to go on the walk. You've got to be personally strong enough to go on the walk. If you can't make the walk and you can't make it back, you certainly can't carry anyone else with you, right? If we're not, that one sheep's life is almost certainly going to be lost. Can you imagine if the shepherd didn't have enough strength, enough fitness, enough durability, enough endurance to be able to make it all the way? That sheep would have been lost. Last week I told you sheep are defenseless animals for the most part. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have claws. They're not even that smart. In fact, one of the funny things about sheep is that their nostrils are on the top of their face. And so that means that they can't even drink from water that's turbid, like, you know, up and down kind of water. Otherwise, they'll drown when they're trying to drink. Yeah. What kind of an animal is that? It's an animal that needs help, is what kind of animal that is. That's why Jesus refers to us as sheep, because we need his help. We can't even drink water right. We need his help, right? Number two, we've got to be strong enough to carry another. So it's not just enough to be able to make it by yourself. You know, I know that in this world, a lot of times we think about just trying to make it. I'm just trying to get mine. I'm just trying to get ahead. I'm trying to do my thing. I'm trying to get ahead in my career. I'm trying to get... But it's not just about us. What if we're strong enough that we can make it, but we can help someone else along the way? In fact, I don't remember exactly who it was. Maybe it was Zig Ziglar or John Maxwell. But they said something to this effect: you can have anything that you want if you help enough people to get what they want. You can have anything that you want as long as you help enough other people to get what they want. Isn't that an amazing statement? But I think that's all about helping other people. Learning to carry and shoulder the load, especially for someone that can't do it for themselves. Here's a couple of sub-points. If we aren't even strong enough for ourselves, we cannot help others. Listen, if you don't have enough finances to be able to pay all of your bills, it's hard to be able to bless somebody else with their mortgage. Right? If you don't have enough to even meet your needs, you know what you're always thinking about? You know how I know this, by the way, because I was in this place right out, I mean, all through college. I was always thinking about what I'm going to eat next. But mostly I knew what I was going to eat next, be eating next. It was Top Ramen. You know how I knew that? Because I knew that they would sell it for 15 cents a package. And that's what I could afford. I could afford four of them a day. That's 60 cents, baby. And I ate four packages of ramen. It's terrible for you. But I'm still alive because Jesus helped me out. You know, I needed help. But when you're always concentrating on what you have and how much lack you have and do you have enough to just meet the need, you always hear about, do the ends meet? You know, growing up, funny story, because meat, M-E-A-T, like beef, is spelled the same way as M-E-E-T, like where things meet. I always wondered about that phrase. What does that mean? I don't know if I can make ends meet. Ends meet? What is ends meet? What kind of meat is that? Pork, beef, chicken? I never understood that phrase until I saw it written out, make the ends meet. Oh, that makes sense. Homonyms are horrible. Homonyms. But you know, we've got to be able to have enough for ourselves before we can begin to meet the needs of others. If for no other reason to have more than enough, let this be your reason. That you're not always looking at yourself. It is the most selfish kind of life to only have our ends meet. It can start to get into the realm of blessing when we can have more than enough so that it goes beyond us into the lives of other people. Can you say amen to that? Letter B, we must be able to make it all the way back when we do help others. What good does it do you to pick up that sheep, put it on your shoulders, and then by the time that you make it halfway, you're like, dude, I'm dead. Not going to make it back. I guess we're both going to die out here. It does not do you any good for you both to die. It's important that we can make it all the way back. I always tell people when we go on this gnarly hike that we go on in the summertime, look, if you're halfway tired by the time that you get to the top, you ain't making it back. You have to be less than halfway tired in order to make it back. But it's downhill. Downhill is the worst part. It is the worst part. Let me give you point number three. Some important things about this parable. Point number three, our physical, emotional, and spiritual fitness must be more than enough for ourselves. By the way, here's some important nuggets that you should take away for life. Number one, we make the most gains by working on our weaknesses. You know, we're always taught to focus on our strengths, aren't we? Operate in your strengths. You should do that, but you should also work on your weaknesses. There's this thing called the point of diminishing returns. Anybody know what that is? That you have great gains to a certain point and then it starts to plateau. It starts to trail off in how good you can do it and what percentage of gain that you can make. You make the best gains in your life by working on your weaknesses, not by working on your strengths. Work in your strengths, work on your weaknesses. Number two, consuming the right things consistently. Can I tell you that Top Ramen is not a good training diet? I just know that by experience. Top Ramen is not a good training diet, but you can't just do it once. Oh, I had a salad once. No, you can't do that. You got to love vegetables. For those of you that were here on that Sunday, you got to learn to love vegetables. Why? Because it has all the nutrients that you need. It's really important. Number three, consistently push the envelope of what is possible. By the way, comfort and growth are mutually exclusive. Man, that is such a horrible statement. I hate that statement. Comfort and growth are mutually exclusive. Well, I want to be comfortable. Guess what? You're not going to grow. Yeah. Well, I want to grow. Guess what? You're not going to be comfortable. There's just no way that those two things exist in the same realm. It's not possible to do that. You know how I know that? I lifted something once and it hurt, but I grew from it. It's important that we realize that if we want growth, we'll need to sacrifice comfort. If we want comfort, we're going to sacrifice growth. You know, sometimes in our relationships with our friends, our families, with our spouse, whatever, sometimes we're looking for comfort. And we just, oh, can't we just get along? But guess what? You're probably not going to grow. I think that marriage is one of the greatest growth tools that you could ever possibly have in your life. And you know what that means? That means it's not going to be comfortable. In fact, you know the Bible, I know they don't say this at weddings. It's like, you know, all the nice frou-frou stuff, like your Starbucks caramel macchiato with the whipped cream on top. It's like that. But you know what? They don't tell you this one, that the Bible says, whoever gets married, you're going to have trouble. Why don't they ever say that at marriage? You know why? Because people don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. If you're going to grow, you're going to be uncomfortable. I guarantee it. I want to turn you to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Remember, I'm talking about getting to the feet, and this is a story about why. And again, he entered Capernaum, talking about Jesus. He entered Capernaum, actually, after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. That's why I'm preaching this word, because Jesus preached the word. If he did it, I figured that is probably a good thing to do. Verse 3, then they came to him, talking about four guys. You'll find it out in just a moment. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. So this dude was paralyzed, completely paralyzed, could not move, was just on a bed. And four guys came carrying him to this house where there was no room, not even by the door. And Jesus was preaching there. Verse 4, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. What that means is they ripped the roof open. They tore it up. They vandalized someone else's home. And so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And so what you see in this passage here are quite a number of things that we're going to get to in just a moment. I want to give you a few things that you need to know before we start digging in. First of all, when Jesus says your sins are forgiven you, you know what sin is? It's very simply this. Sin is missing the mark, just like how I shoot bow and arrow, just right like that. Sin is missing the mark. Next thing that you need to know is that the mark is God's standard of perfection. So you and I, every single one of us, the Bible says, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What that simply means is that all of us, myself included, standing here today, have missed the mark of God's standard of perfection. How many of you know that you're not as perfect as God? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not as perfect as God. I'll raise my hand real boldly. I know it. Every single day I know it. And if I don't know it, my wife will tell me that. No, I'm just kidding. But one of the things that you got to understand about sin is that sin paralyzes us. You may not have known it, but sin paralyzes you. It causes you to be in a spot where you can't move right, where things don't act right. And this guy had some sin in his life, and he was paralyzed. It was just a physical representation of what was going on in his spirit. Here's the next thing that you need to know, is that sin separates us from Jesus. Sin separates us from Jesus. Now, don't go get all squirmy on me now just because I'm talking about sin. I'm going to talk to you not just about sin. I want to talk to you about the antidote. Because Jesus didn't just leave this dude the way that he was. Check it out. In verse 10 through 12 of the same passage of scripture here in Mark 2, so we just jumped a few verses down. Check it out. Jesus said, but so that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. You know what I think is really amazing? Is number one, that Jesus didn't spit on the guy who was a sinner. He wasn't like, good for you, bro. That's what happens when you sin. Just lay there and think about it for a while. He didn't do that. He addressed it, and he said, your sins are forgiven you. And then not only that, he didn't stop there. He said, look, dude, you've been healed. Take up your bed and go. What I think is amazing on the other side of that is that this guy, I don't know how long he had been on that bed, how long he had been paralyzed, how it came about, what happened. All I know is that he was busted up on this paralytic bed. He couldn't even get to Jesus, and four guys helped him to get there. And then when Jesus tells him, "You're healed," he didn't say, "Do you see me? Do you know who I am? I'm laying here, can't move, and you're telling me to get up." You notice he didn't even put up a fight. He just stood up, picked up his bed, and went on his way. And everybody was like, "Wow. Never saw anything like that before." I think it's amazing that Jesus didn't beat up on the guy that he's down there, can't move. He's paralyzed with sin. But instead, what Jesus did is he addressed that guy and he said, "Look, your sins are forgiven you. Why don't you get up and walk? Be restored, be made fully whole so that you can enjoy the life that I have for you." Look, Jesus heals and forgives our sins. That's so important to know. I don't know about you, but I've been around some Christians, and I've been a Christian for a while now, but I've been around some Christians that are just like always looking down at you like they don't ever sin. But I know that they sin. Because Romans tells me that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you ain't perfect neither, you looking down on me. And I don't know why sometimes people look at other people like that. I don't know why sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes I feel like, you know, other people's sins are worse than mine. But that's just because it's like I like my mom's cooking better than I like your mom's cooking. And it's nothing personal, it's just that's what I'm used to. So my sins are more comfortable to me than your sins are comfortable to me. But you know what? Jesus is all right with being able to heal whoever comes to his feet. Look, those of you that are Christians, can I ask you something? Like a hard question? Bite on something, not your neighbor, but bite on something if you need to. Let me ask you a hard question, Christian. Is your personal sin keeping you from coming to Jesus' feet? You stuck there like, "No, Jesus can't heal me. You don't know my sin. You don't know how bad it is. Jesus can't handle it." Look, Jesus can handle it. He can handle whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever you smell like. He doesn't care. Whatever you've done, just come to the feet of Jesus. Maybe when we miss the mark, maybe what we ought to do is maybe we ought to run to Jesus instead of running from Jesus. I cannot tell you how many times I've done that very thing where I've messed it up and then I'm just like, "Oh, I got to get away from Jesus. Don't come to church. Don't get around other Christian people. Don't let them see what's going on." You know, if this dude hadn't come to the feet of Jesus and Jesus hadn't seen what was going on, he would have stayed on that bed broken. But I think maybe we need to flip the script a little bit. And when we've sinned, maybe we need to learn to run to Jesus because he heals and he forgives, rather than running from Jesus because we'll just die in our sin. I think that's a better way to live. Can you say amen to that? Look, when someone else can't make their own way to Jesus, maybe we should be willing to do whatever it takes to get him to get them to Jesus' feet so they can find healing. I think that is the nicest thing that we could do for somebody. If I had the antidote for whatever the ails of the world are, if I had that antidote, you know, maybe you've seen that meme about Chuck Norris, right? That Chuck Norris's tears cure whatever disease, but Chuck Norris never cries. How selfish of Chuck Norris to not cry. Maybe try poking him in the eye if you can get close enough. Imagine if I had the antidote for the ills of the world and then I wasn't willing to share it. I just keep it all for myself. Jesus has enough healing for everybody. There's enough antidote for everybody. There's enough antidote for every sin, every sickness, every disease. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." The whole world, everybody in the world, even that person that you don't like, yeah, God loves him too. God loves her too. And he loves them so much that he gave his only son, who was the antidote for all of our ills. Listen, remember that the good shepherd finds the lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders, and brings that sheep back home. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to be people that find people that cannot make it back on their own. They're totally lost, don't know where they're going, maybe going in the wrong direction. Put them on your shoulders and bring them to Jesus. Why? So that they can get healed. Check this out. These four men were willing. They were willing. That's important. They were willing. But what were they willing to do? They were willing to vandalize someone else's house in order to get this invalid man to the feet of Jesus. By the way, that word invalid, isn't that an interesting word? If you break it up, it's invalid. Sometimes when somebody is like paralyzed, they can feel like they're absolutely invalid. They're not valid in this world. They're not of any use to anybody. What use is a paralyzed man to the world around him? None. Just a drain. If you're feeling in your heart like at some point that you're invalid, that you're just a drain on the people around you, guess what? Jesus wants you at his feet. I don't know if it would shock you to know that there's lots of times that I feel that way. I feel like, is my life really making a difference? Or am I like an Apple IIc computer with a 3.5-inch floppy disk drive? Does my life really matter to the world around me? Am I valid? Is my life, is my ministry, is anything that I do valid? Does it even matter to the lives of my kids? Believe it or not, I think about that. Does my life matter to my kids? Like, if I was gone tomorrow, would they even care, or would they just go along being happy having mommy? I'm being really honest with you. Sometimes I feel invalid. And if you ever feel invalid, the best place to go is to somebody that's going to validate you. And can I tell you that Jesus wants to validate who you are? He knows who you are. The Bible says that he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. And he called you. He put a purpose on your life. It's more than to just suck air. Your purpose on this earth is great, and you may not even realize it. I've said this so many times before, and it almost sounds redundant to say it, but it is incredible to think that every snowflake that falls is completely unique. It's amazing to think that your tongue print is absolutely unique in the world. No one else has the same tongue print as you. Now, don't go around licking people. Your eye print is completely unique in all the world. Your fingerprint is completely unique in all the world. What are the chances of that? Well, it's slimmer than like 1 in 6 billion at least. I think that if God would take the time to make you so unique among so many people, that maybe, just maybe, he's got a unique call for your life. Maybe, just maybe, he's got a unique destiny for your life. Maybe he's got something that is causing you to be valid, not invalid. How do you find that validation? Come to Jesus. If all the people around you want to invalidate your life, like, you ain't nothing, don't just call him a hater. Come to the feet of Jesus and get validated. Amen. Let him validate you. Yeah. You may not know this, but Jesus wants you. Even if no one else in the world wants you, Jesus wants you. He wants you so bad, he gave his own life to buy you. That's pretty important. You know these guys, these four crazy dudes that vandalized somebody else's house? They must have thoroughly believed that Jesus could do something about this man's condition. I mean, what good would it be to go all the way there, go through all this trouble, break somebody else's house and whatever, if the person that's there can't even do anything about this guy's condition? They must have thoroughly believed in how good Jesus was and the ability that he had. Do you believe? Well, let me say this first. Jesus' divine ability was activated when these four guys, when their faith was displayed through action. Do you know that Jesus didn't act when he saw the dude? If you look back through that passage of scripture, what you'll find is that the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. By the way, the word "there" is a plural word, not his faith. When he saw their faith, talking about those four dudes, when he saw the faith of the four friends that were crazy enough to do what they did, that's when Jesus moved to action on the guy that couldn't do nothing. See, it's not just about being alone and being strong. That's why you need to be connected, because when you've got four people that care about you more than they care about your friend's roof, and they're going to tear it up to get you to Jesus, when they're not going to let you just sit at home and wallow in self-pity, but they're going to knock on your door and say, hey, you come into church? I'm so glad that Dennis is here today. And you know what? He got no less than, three different phone calls saying, hey, you going to be in church today? By his brother, by his sister, by other people that care. Why? Because they know that this is a place where healing can come. They know that it's a place where when you come to the feet of Jesus, it doesn't matter what you've been through, where you've been. I mean, it matters, but in the end, it doesn't matter because Jesus can fix it. He can heal it. He can make it better. But we've got to come to the feet of Jesus. It's not like the paralyzed dude. I've heard so many people say, well, if Jesus wants to come and visit me, Jesus know where I live. Yeah, but he ain't coming to your house. He's over there. And if you come to him, he'll change your life. It's pretty simple, really. I know where I can get good barbecue food for Hawaii. But I can't get it unless I go there, because Tasty Bites won't bring it. It's important that we know where to go for what we need. Anything that you need can be found in Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you, Christian, do you believe that Jesus can heal and can forgive completely? Can you believe that? Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, you're not going to bring people to Jesus. It's not about other people being sold. It's about you being sold. It's being sold out on Jesus. You know how you get sold out on Jesus? You commit to Jesus 100% of the way. It's the same thing like working out. I mean, it's crazy. But if you cheat on your diet every single day, I remember that there was this one lady that a friend of mine was working with to transform her body. She wanted to transform her body. And she was going to eat 5 meals a day, because you know that that's the right thing to do. Plan, prep, and pack. You eat 5 small meals a day. And she was not losing any weight at all, but it's worked for like hundreds of other people. So they sat down in a brainstorming session trying to find out what could break through. Is it fasting? Is it prayer? I mean, what is it? And then this dear lady asked the $50 million question. You know, on this sheet where it has to write down what I have for each of my 5 meals, like, what do I write down for the meals in between those? There aren't any meals between those. And all of a sudden, this revelation hit that it's not about the 5 meals, it's what is in between the 5 meals that matters. You know, if you would stick to the plan, you would get the results. What am I saying to you here today? I'm saying this, that if you do the Word of God, like you do it to the best of your ability, and then you'll have some assistance beyond your ability. It's this thing called grace, that God will help you to do what you cannot do on your own. Then all of a sudden, your life can start to change in an incredible kind of way. Oh yeah, did I mention that growth comes at the expense of comfort? Yep. That you can't change without uncomfortable. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But the good news is you'll change. Amen. So if you learn to be uncomfortable, you can live in constant change for the better. That's something that's really important. I hope you grab a hold of that. Do you believe that Jesus can heal and forgive completely? Look, if you as a Christian don't believe that, you, my friend, need to have a personal encounter with a loving, healing Jesus Christ, and not a system of servitude to a religious system or a religious leader. Religion won't save you. I don't care what religion it is. Religion will not save you, but Jesus can make a difference. See, the Pharisees were in the same house that Jesus was in. Nobody ain't tearing up no roof trying to get to the Pharisees' feet. You know why? Because what they had didn't work. What they had was a system of bondage. Can I just say it this way? Religion will always put you into bondage, but Jesus will always bring you into liberty. If you ever feel like you're in bondage, you're serving a religion, not Jesus. You can come to church until you go bald. And if you're bald already, pick another example. You can come to church every day of your life until you go and meet Jesus in the big pie in the sky. But unless you have an encounter with him, and unless you're personally with Jesus himself, the loving, changing, ever-living God, I'm telling you what, religion will put you in bondage every day of your life. You know what religion will tell you? Religion will tell you you can't eat with those people. Religion will tell you that you can't hang out with the unsavory characters. Religion will tell you that the paralyzed guy is going to stay paralyzed because he deserves it. Religion will tell you that you shouldn't tear up somebody else's house. But you can repair a roof. You can't fix a broken body. Jesus can do that. See, I'm convinced that Jesus is able to heal. I'm convinced that Jesus is able to forgive every sin. Amen. Everyone. Yeah. Everyone. Name one that he cannot. There is one that he will choose not to, which is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, and we're not even going to talk about that one. Just suffice it to say that you'd have to be in really bad shape to have gone there. But Jesus can heal every wound. He can heal every sickness. He can heal every sin, and he can forgive every day, every day, every day. Can I just say it this way? Don't bring people to church. Bring people to Jesus. But the good news for you is that Jesus is in this church. So when you bring them here, you can bring them to Jesus all at the same time. Two birds, one stone. I think it's important that we realize that we're not bringing people to a system of religion. We're bringing people to a loving, caring, amazing God who loves them more than he loves just so. He loves us more than he loves systems. Amen. Let me just end with this today. One thing, just one thing. Would you ask yourself, who can you bring to Jesus? Who can you bring to Jesus? It might be the person that smells bad, looks bad. Their life is unsavory, like the people that Jesus himself, by the way, was hanging out with. They might be unsavory characters to people in a religious system, but Jesus, do you know he was not uncomfortable? He was having dinner with them. In fact, in that version of the Bible, it said that he was cutting it up with them like they were old friends. Jesus is not scared of anybody's sin. He's not scared of anybody's condition. Who can you bring to Jesus? And we'll see them set free. Would you just bow your hearts as I want to pray for you today? Father, I pray right now that number one, that we would get consistent enough, strong enough in our personal walk with you and our personal dedication to you that we can carry others. Then, when we can carry others, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be convinced that you are the answer for every question, and that we would be those that would bring people to your feet. Jesus, I know that although people have portrayed you as a God in some ways that's looking to ridicule people, cut people down, and make us be penalized for our sins, that's not who you really are. That you're a God who loves, you're a God who forgives, you're a God who saves. You're a God who changes. You're a God who makes a way when there is no way. So, Father, I pray right now that you would help us to have a personal encounter with you so that we would know you and not just a system, that we would know you as a person and not just a religion. I thank you, God, that you said that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, God, that this church is a place of freedom. It's a place of liberty. It's a place where we can come to the feet of Jesus, and every single one of us who's missed the mark can be healed and made whole. We just thank you for it today. We love you and we bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you give Pastor Jolie your attention as she closes us today?
Thank you.